This week, the question we're considering is this. Doesn't the Bible teach immoral people should be executed? Let's take the sin of adultery for an example. Adultery has always been a very grievous sin in the eyes of God. Modern-day movies and television programs make light of adultery, but every person in all of the world making fun of it does not make it right. It is still a sin that will send men and women to hell. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, the Bible says, "Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge." According to the Bible, then, men and women who commit adultery and do not repent and do not receive forgiveness, they will be punished on the great judgment day of God. In addition to this judgment, the Old Testament also taught that adulterers were to be stoned to death. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 23 and 24, the Bible says, "If a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to a husband, and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones. The young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife. So shall you put away the evil from among you." Now, the question we're asking is this. Why don't we today stone adulterers and say that they should be executed? As far as that goes, why don't we do a lot of things which the Old Testament teaches? For example, the Old Testament teaches that no work should be done at all on the Sabbath day. That's the seventh day of the week. And violators were to be stoned to death. The Old Testament teaches that men should not eat pork or catfish. It teaches that animals should be sacrificed to make atonement for sins. The Old Testament teaches that rebellious children should be stoned to death. It teaches that men must assemble in the city of Jerusalem 3 times a year in order to worship God. So, why is it that we do not observe all of these things? The answer to this great question lies in the fact that all of these things were taught in the Old Testament, but they are not taught in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, the Bible says, "Now Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them," he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt." Verse 13 says, "In that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away." Listen to verse 13 again. "What is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away." Here, the Bible itself is saying that the Old Testament was going to vanish away. It would be replaced with the New Testament, and the New Testament would bring with it new laws and regulations. The laws of the Old Testament would vanish away, but Jesus said, Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Now then, when did the Old Testament pass away? When did it come to an end? The Bible clearly teaches that the laws of the Old Testament were fulfilled and taken away when Jesus died on the cross. In Colossians 2, verse 14, the Bible says, "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to his cross." In verse 16, the Bible says, "So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths." Clearly then, and beyond question, the Old Testament came to an end with the death of Jesus. With the ending of the Old Testament came the beginning of the New Testament. Jesus' death on the cross ushered in a new covenant. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25, the Bible says, "In the same manner, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood.'" In the communion, the one cup represents the one New Testament that was ratified by the blood of Jesus. One cup, then, reminds us there's just one New Testament, and the fruit of the vine reminds us not only of the great price that was paid, but also when this New Testament came into force. Now, why don't we today stone adulterers to death? Why don't we offer animal sacrifices today? Why don't we assemble three times a year in the city of Jerusalem for worship? The answer to all of these questions is because all of these things were part of the Old Testament law, but none of them are part of the New Testament law. In like manner, some churches today teach that we should observe the seventh-day Sabbath, but that was part of the Old Testament law. The New Testament teaches that we are to assemble on the first day of each week for worship, Acts 20, verse 7. Some churches today teach that their members should tithe, but tithing was part of the Old Testament. The New Testament teaches in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Some churches today use mechanical instruments of music when singing praises to God, but mechanical instruments were part of the Old Testament worship. The New Testament teaches instead in Ephesians 5, verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So let us be careful not to base our religion today on the Old Testament, because it has been nailed to the cross. In Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39, the Bible says, "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Notice carefully, we cannot be justified by the law of Moses. That means the Old Testament. Neither can we choose only portions of the Old Testament that we like and then leave the rest. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 3, the Bible says, "I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised, he is a debtor to keep the whole law." We must decide to either keep the whole Old Testament law, which cannot save us, or else we must decide to live under the New Testament. We cannot have it both at the same time. We cannot keep the Sabbath day, tithing, and instrumental music without also keeping animal sacrifices and stoning adulterers and so forth. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, the Bible says, "You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace." Well, thanks for considering our message this week. We invite you to visit our website at www.willofthelord.com. And there at our website, you can download the notes and the audio file of this message you just listened to. We invite you to call again next week when we consider a new subject on Bible Talk.